Hey everybody, just before we start this episode, just want to let you all know this is going to be a ghost episode, so some of you may find this a bit disturbing. I also have my sister here, if you want to say hello. So, I'm not sure if you could hear her, but she's in the back listening as well. So, this is just a creepypasta story. It'll just take like 13 minutes. So, let's start. And this is a real story. I don't think I can put this into words. How good it feels being a father. I love Daniel, my son, more than I could possibly say. His bright shining smile, his endless curiosity about the world around him, and his gentle loving nature. Alright, so he has a son, okay. I don't think I was capable of loving someone else this much, but every time I heard his little laugh or saw his smile, I knew. Even the smallest things he did make me so incredibly proud. Every achievement he earned was something I wanted to celebrate. Even the interest that he had that I didn't like, I tried to at least enjoy his enjoyment out of them, if that makes any sense. Cars were one of those interests. Those Disney movies with Owen Wilson playing Lightning McQueen, a red race car who unsurprisingly loved racing. I suppose the movies weren't that bad, but ever since he's been a baby, Daniel had loved watching the first two, and his interest hasn't gone anywhere by the time the third one came around. I'd been planning to take him on an opening night, and I'll admit, even I was a little excited for it. Partially because the trailer showed Lightning McQueen getting into a terrible car accident, and I was hoping that might mean that the movie would be a little more interesting, and partially because I wanted to break from job hunting. I'd been a salesman at a local Chevrolet dealership for the past few years. I'd actually been hoping to work my way up to sales manager, although I suppose those hopes got dashed when half of the sales team was laid off, myself included. I didn't mind watching Daniel after school, but I didn't like letting my wife, Teresa, be the only breadwinner. She kept assuring me it was fine, that I'd find something, that she was making enough to support us for now. For the time being, life went on. Just like it was supposed to. It was a fairly warm October that year. Teresa had to be down at the hospital early, so it was up to me and Daniel to get ready and walk him to school. He liked school. He was a friendly boy, so he seemed to make friends easily. Although granted, kids at that age seem to think everybody in their class is their friend. We left a little early on the walk. Taking in the beautiful autumn leaves and early Halloween decorations. We lived in a quiet little suburban neighborhood. The houses were close together and almost all identical. A one-car driveway and a tree out front of each one. I noticed one of the neighbors had hung a scary spider's web in the tree out front of the house. And it got me thinking about what I might do with our tree. I'd been walking beside Daniel and lost thought, which was probably why I didn't notice anything until he pointed out to me. Daddy, look, it's lightning. I was jolted from my thoughts and looked over to where Daniel was pointing. There was a bright red coupe just down the street with a familiar design. The grille was a custom job depicting the weary smile of Lightning McQueen. The windshield even depicted his eyes. The resemblance to the character was almost perfect. I want to see. Daniel almost ran across the street to get a better look. I stopped him, even though there weren't any cars coming, just to take a quick look around, just to be sure. Before taking his hand and letting him cross the street with me, I wonder who owns him, I said as we made it up to the car. Up close, the detail was no less stunning, and if I'm honest, a little bit creepy. Daniel didn't seem to notice that, though. All he cared about was that it was lightning right there in front of him. Daddy, can I go inside? He begged. Maybe later, I don't think we can right now, I said. The car was parked beside a playground that we frequently abandoned at that time of day. I figured out that one of the nearby houses must have owned it, but I wasn't sure who. I'll tell you what, I'll see if I can find out who owns it, and maybe he'll let you check it out, I promised. Daniel seemed fine with that, and gave the car one parting look before he let me lead him away. I spent all day applying for new jobs, and had one phone interview with the woman, who I'm sure was trying to be as condescending as was humanly possible. I did a quick Google search to see if anybody in the area was owned a Lightning McQueen model, and found myself looking at the similar models online. Nothing was quite the same as the one I saw. The eyes and mouth were different. I figured that whoever had made the model must have just been some sort of hobbyist, who'd have documented it on a YouTube channel. But at least saw some sort of recognition for their hard work. But I came up with nothing. When the afternoon came, I prepared Daniel's after-school snack and left to go pick him up. Passing by the playground, I looked around for any sign of the Lightning McQueen car. No luck. Whoever owned it had moved it. I didn't dwell on it too much, figuring I'd see it again later. Later came, a lot faster than I'd expected. I saw the damn thing parked right outside the school. For a moment, I wondered if it belonged to some other kid's parent, and he'd made it to impress them. Lightning was certainly getting a lot of attention, with all sorts of kids crowded around him. Daniel was among them. When he saw me coming, he said a quick goodbye to one of his friends, Toby, and rushed over to me. Daddy, look, Lightning McQueen came to visit. So he did, I said. Did you get to go inside? No. He sounded a little disappointed. He'd just been sitting there all day. Now that struck me as a little odd. I'd have thought whoever made the car would come out and claim some credit for their work. Really? I asked, a little concerned now. You didn't see his owner? No, I don't think anybody's inside right now, Daniel said. Although I didn't know how he could be sure. I couldn't see through the windows. Actually, I wasn't entirely sure how a driver would see out those windows, come to think of it. Maybe he'll still be there tomorrow, Daniel said. Yeah, maybe, I replied, and took his hand to lead him home. That night, Therese and I were woken up by a loud crash coming from outside. I jolted awake, disoriented and confused, unsure if I was dreaming or not. Outside, I heard the squeal of tires and shambled to my bedroom window to look out over the front yard. I couldn't see anything in the darkness, aside from an empty street out front. For a few moments, I listened to the semi-silence of the suburban night. There was no sound of a car speeding away or any sign of anything else. Paul, what is it? Teresa asked, standing by the bed and awaiting my verdict. I don't know, I don't see any damage, but should we go and look? Part of me didn't really want to, but I wasn't sure how much sleep I'd get unless I confirmed that they hadn't hit her car in the driveway. I put on a pair of slippers and headed downstairs, then out the front door to assess the damage, and swore under my breath when I saw what happened. A small tree was almost snapped in half, nearly uprooted. Something had hit it with a lot of force. My first instinct was a drunk driver. I looked around for any sign of them, but saw nothing on my empty street. I rushed back inside to share my findings with Teresa, and we called the cops. The police weren't able to do much aside from take the statement and looked around a little. There were no saving the tree, so I needed to have what was left of it or removed. They weren't able to find any broken off pieces of the car either. Teresa and I didn't get much sleep that night, and after putting Daniel back to bed after the commotion, I stayed up looking through the job boards, then through YouTube videos. By the time I had to take Daniel to school, I was dead tired and shuffled through the motions of that morning. Lightning McQueen hadn't moved from his spot yesterday and remained parked out in front of the school. Daniel stared and smiled, but it didn't seem as interested in him today. Neither of us mentioned it. I kissed him on the cheek and headed back home, taking only a brief glance at the car before leaving. As soon as I got home, I looked up Cheap Landscaping Company and called them about removing the tree. I can probably book something tomorrow, the man on the phone promised me. We're a little backed up. It's weird. We've got a lot of calls like this today. For broken trees? I asked. Yeah, there's been a bunch over the neighborhood. I think a bunch of kids pulled some sort of stunt last night. I couldn't imagine a group of teenagers deliberately crashing their cars into trees for fun. Even if they were just small trees. But, well, kids these days were a lot different than back when I was in high school. I took the slot for tomorrow and turned on the TV to check out the news. Sure enough, there was a report on all the vandalism from the night before. A cat urkel rubbed against my legs as I watched, and I absent-mindedly petted him before letting him out to wander the neighborhood. After that, I took a nap on the couch, burnt out from all that excitement last night. When my phone's alarm went off, I slowly woke to work on Daniel's after-school snack and checked the back door to see if Urkel had come back. No sign of him, but I wasn't too worried about that. He seemed to prefer being outdoors, and I knew he'd come back when he got tired. I went to go pick up Daniel. Lionel McQueen was gone. I got to the school, and I noticed a police cruiser parked in the Kiss and Ride. That made me feel uneasy. I hope everything's all right. I remarked to Daniel once I collected him and looked over at the police cruiser. Daniel stared at it as if he was surprised to find it there. Did something happen today? I asked him. I don't know, I didn't see, he said, and he seemed to think about it for a bit. Rick said a bad word, so maybe that's why. I highly doubted the cops were going to show up just because some kid uttered a bad word. I stayed at the cruiser, then at the empty space where Lightning McQueen had been the day before. No lightning today, I asked. He left, Daniel said. He took Toby for a ride, though. My heart stopped in my chest. Lightning took Toby, I asked. Yeah, Toby was looking at him during recess, and his door opened, so he got in, and they left. I stared at the cop car, feeling physically ill as I realised why they were there. I knew Toby's parents. They were good people, and I couldn't imagine what they were going through at the moment. I took Daniel by the hand and pulled him towards home, trying to keep calm as I went. When I got there, I let Daniel eat his snack and watch TV whilst I called Teresa and told her what had happened. I then called Toby's parents to check with them. I was as I'd feared. Toby was missing, and the suspect had been driving a car that looked like Lightning McQueen. The police came briefly to ask questions. The officers were gentle, even though I didn't think Daniel was able to give them anything of value. He was too young to understand the danger. I'd heard an Amber Alert was issued, but I had a sinking fear in my stomach that it was too late. I considered keeping Daniel home from school the next day. I'd heard nothing but about Toby being found, and that sick feeling in my stomach hadn't passed. But eventually I relented. The school was still open and was being watched by the police. Maybe it was safer to let him go today. Reluctantly, I went through our morning routine and walked into school. Eyes peeled for that Lightning McQueen car. The other parents dropping off their children seemed grim and shifty. The demeanor was more guarded than uneasy. Some of the parents I usually chatted with ignored me in favor of making sure their own kids were safe. I didn't take that personally. A lot had chosen to stay home. I didn't blame them for that. I watched Daniel until he was safely inside the school and walked home slowly, my feet almost dragging on the sidewalk. It wasn't until I got home that I remembered that something I'd completely forgotten about in the stress that I had to find last night. Urkel, the cat. As I got closer to the house, I spotted him on the street. Recognition immediately tore my mind away from every other thought as I saw that tuft of orange fur and I broke into a run, already fearing the worst. His green eyes stared vacantly upwards, his mouth was open, with his flies already beginning to inspect it. This had been recent. This had just happened. I couldn't bring myself to look at the blood spatter on the pavement and the guts. I wanted to be sick, and I wanted to cry, as if this week couldn't possibly get any worse. I cleaned up the mess, giving poor Urkel a shroud in a garbage bag that I shoveled him into, and burying him out back. I was just finishing burying him when landscapers arrived to take care of the tree. As they worked, I sat in my living room, still trying to process all that had happened over the past few days. On the surface, I tried to tell myself that this was just all a random series of events, unconnected and unfortunate. But it felt like much more than that. Three surreal vehicle incidents in less than 3 days, all coinciding with the arrival of that Lightning McQueen model. It seemed too crazy to be true. I tried not to think about it and turned on the TV watching the news to try and take my mind off this. That didn't work either. There'd been a murder. Not just a hit and run, oh no, worse than that, a car had gone off the road and right into the living room of a house, not far from where I lived. They had all been killed in the accident. Well, almost all of them. There was no sign of the driver or the car. And they revealed the names of the deceased. Names I recognised. They weren't friends, no. I don't think I even knew where they'd lived until then. But I met them out front of Daniel's school. And when they showed up a picture of the house, a house almost identical to mine, I couldn't help but notice there was a tree out front of that house. But there was a fresh mound of dirt where the tree had once been. A mound of dirt that looked like a lot like the one that would be outside my house very soon. I felt myself start to shake. There was no denying this. Or if there was, I just didn't want to deny it. Something was wrong and I didn't even know what to begin to explain any of it. Some lunatic in a Lightning McQueen car was driving around kidnapping children, crashing into things. It occurred to me that if he'd been behind all that damage, then perhaps his car would have shown signs of wear. It'd been wear and tear. There'd been no such thing when I'd last seen it. But that wasn't much of a comfort, was it? I watched the report on the news, unable to understand why behind all of this, until eventually I decided that I just didn't care. Why didn't matter. The police could handle that. All I needed was to take care of my family. I booked a hotel right then and there, third floor, where no car could possibly reach us, and I set to packing our things immediately. When the time came to get Daniel, I didn't bother making him a snack. I called Teresa and told her to come home. I thought it was urgent, and then went to go get Daniel. I figured I could meet her at home and we would leave immediately. Daniel seemed quieter when I picked him up, and I kept a brisk pace on the walk home, holding his little hand tightly. "Is Toby coming back?" he asked me as we walked. "I don't know," I replied. "I hope so. I hope the police bring him back safe." "Me too," Daniel said quietly, glancing over his shoulder. It seems like such a minor conversation, the kind of thing I wouldn't even remember later, but I remember it now. I remember the last time I spoke to my son. When we got home, Teresa was already there, and she almost sprinted towards me. By the time I got close enough to see why, I barely noticed her at all. Where my front door had once been, now there was a gaping hole of a splintered wood and dry wall, roughly the size of a car. It looked sickeningly similar to the house I'd seen on the news earlier. The tire tracks on my lawn passed over where the tree had once been, and I felt that gnawing sickness in my stomach return as I realised that I could have easily been inside the house when the car had come. "Paul, what is going on?" Teresa cried. And in the back of my mind, I almost was grateful for the damage, since at least my concerns had been vindicated. "I'll explain later. We need to go now. Get in the car." "I'll get the suitcases. I've already booked a hotel," I said, and handed Daniel off to her. I headed towards where my front door had once been and hurried to the rooms of my house to get our luggage. I retrieved the suitcase of mine. And Teresa's room. I saw him through the window. Lightning McQueen parked patiently across the street. My eyes widened in horror. The model had taken some damage, the paint was scratched, and one of the mirrors had broken off. I'd expected whoever was behind the wheel of that goddamn thing to be long gone, but no, they'd just been waiting for another chance. I didn't waste my time with the suitcases. I sprinted back down the stairs as I heard the engine rev. I wasn't even at the door when I heard the sickening crunch of metal on metal and Teresa's scream of agony. When I got out the door, I saw just what had happened to her. She was pinned between the side of her van and the Lightning McQueen. The model had hit her head on and backed up, leaving her to collapse uselessly on the ground. Through the windows of the van, I could see Daniel clearly terrified. Lightning hit the van again, tires rolling over Teresa as it did. and the van rocked. I screamed, but remained frozen and helpless. Daniel was struggling to escape. He opened the door of the van and lightning reared up to ram it again, and it looked at me before running towards me. I might have screamed. I can't remember if I did. Lightning swerved away from the van, going around it and hitting the speed again. Daniel froze in his tracks, looking into the headlights of the oncoming car as it sped towards him, and in the blink of an eye, overtook him. That snarling car hit Daniel head on, and slammed him against the brick of my house. Just one quick movement before the car had shifted into reverse. I lost control of myself. I ran towards Daniel, but I couldn't tell that there was no saving him. I can only hope he died on impact. The headlight car fixated on me, and with tears in my eyes, I looked towards them, waiting for them to bear down on me. But they didn't. Lightning McQueen idled. The driver, if there was a driver, studying me from behind the eyes on the windshield. Then finally, the car pulled back. I heard sirens in the distance and could only watch helplessly as Lightning McQueen sped off into the distance, the blood of my wife and son on his grill. I'm told the police found pieces of the car abandoned in a dumpster a few kilometers away. Whoever had made the thing just swapped out what they couldn't fix to keep the vehicle looking somewhat pristine. Of course, they never found out who it was or why they did it. They took Teresa off of life support last week after the doctors declared complete brain death. A loss was another painful blow. I can't say how much I spent trying to save her, more than I had, I'm sure. I told her that her organs might help save some lives, but that's not much consolation. I've buried her beside Daniel. She loved him as much as I did, and if it had been me, that's what I would have wanted. I saw in the news that Lightning McQueen, a model, tore through a playground last month, killing 6 people. 4 of them were kids. I've heard it mentioned as having been seen a few cases of child abductions too. I still don't know why. Maybe some sick guy out there just likes hurting kids, and making this car look like Lightning McQueen was the best way to make them get close. I don't know. I don't think I'll ever get answers. What I know for sure is that I have nothing left in this world. Daniel is gone, and so is Teresa. And as I write this, I'm sitting in a motel room that I know I can't afford. I don't suppose it matters. If the sleeping pills don't do their work, I'll just try something else later. All I can say is this. If you've ever seen a model of Lightning McQueen on the street, get out of your town. And so that's the end of our creepypasta story. You know, that was pretty good. Emma, do you want to come over here and tell your thoughts? So Emma's been listening, and I think she's terrified. What do you think of that story?
It's sad. I don't think it's scary, but I don't like it. I thought Daniel, his son, was like in the car when he said.
Well, yeah, he was, but he ran out to try to go to his dad. Remember?
Yeah, but. Why? Who was under the thing? I want to know. Someone give me answers now!
Same actually. I kind of want to know what's behind that Lightning McQueen car, because that's crazy, and that's a really, like, kind of gross story. So, I actually thought it was quite scary, but it was definitely quite sad towards the end.